Good morning and happy Sabbath to everyone. It's good to see you here. Happy Sabbath. Welcome to visitors, and I see quite a few here today. Happy to have you. And you're welcome to come and visit us anytime. Those on the webcast, welcome as well. Now, with the last song we sung still ringing in your ears, reminds you of the last time I spoke a little bit, because we sang that song last time, and we'll be on that theme, and you will understand why. So the last time I spoke, if you will remember, we found out that if the man is right, his world will be right. We also found out that the only way the man will be right is by seeking first the kingdom of God. So in that connection, turn with me please to Matthew 6:33. Familiar verse, we just sang it, but let's just turn there. Read it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And its righteousness. Now, many times we focus on seek ye first the kingdom of God, and its righteousness gets lost in there somewhere. It's almost like an afterthought. And its righteousness. But with God, there is no afterthought. So today, let us understand the critical importance of seeking first the righteousness of the kingdom of God. The righteousness of the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't mind me saying it, I've spoken at the feast several places. Just a few weeks ago, we were in India, and this is one of the sermons I gave on the feast. And when I heard the opening song, the festival song, I said, it's just in tune with what we're going to be talking about today. Because, yes, the feast was a few weeks ago, but if we think about it, every Sabbath is a feast. Every Sabbath is a day of rest, and if we really understood the Sabbath, the meaning of the Sabbath, and the purpose of the Sabbath, it's the same renewal focus that we should be having during the Festival of Tabernacles. So one key purpose of God in commanding us to observe the Festival of Tabernacles, as well as, and as we just mentioned, the festival of the weekly Sabbath, is that we learn to fear him always. The basic first step in learning to fear him always is to seek first the righteousness of his kingdom. Today we will begin, be given a practical plan to follow in seeking that righteousness so that we can learn to fear him always and make our calling and election sure. Now, how does God describe righteousness as it relates to his kingdom? Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 9. We'll read verse 7. Isaiah 9, we'll read verse 7. And I want to read that in the NIV, New International Version. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And let's look at Psalms 89, verse 14. And I'll read that in the Bible in plain English. Psalm 89, verse 14. Your throne is established in righteousness and in judgment, in grace and truth. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever the scepter of your kingdom. The Bible has a lot to say about righteousness and the importance of it. We won't turn to all the scriptures, but I have quite a few here, quite a few references. Romans 3:22 talks about the righteousness of God. And we No, the righteousness of Christ. Let's turn to Psalms 119 and read a few verses there. Okay, let's look first at verse 123. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. The word of thy righteousness. The word of thy righteousness. If we go on to Psalm 172, it mentions all his commandments are righteousness. So it's his word, it's his commandments are righteousness. Psalm 99, we won't turn there, but it says, God's judgments are true and righteous altogether. The word, the commandments, the judgments. Psalm 119, 138, your testimonies are righteous. Psalm 119, 106 talks about his righteous ordinances. Psalms 119, 123 talks about his righteous promises. Ephesians 6, 14, and let's turn there. Ephesians 6. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So righteousness seems pretty important. The breastplate. War isn't fought that way now, although the law enforcement people have a breastplate. They call it a bulletproof vest, okay? But it's there to protect the vital organs, the lungs, the heart, the liver, the spleen, because anything penetrates those, you're going to die. I mean, you still die of something, but those are practically instant death. So when we are told to have on the breastplate of righteousness, there's a reason for that, because we know there's someone out there with darts trying to kill us spiritually. And in the series here, Isaiah 54:14 talks about in righteousness you will be established. So God is looking to establish us in righteousness. So let's go back to Matthew 6:23, and this time let's read it in the Amplified Version, the Amplified Version. But seek, and the word seek in the Amplified Version is explained as to aim at and to strive after. Aim at and strive after. First of all, his kingdom. And we found out last week how to aim at, last time I spoke, how to aim at and strive after that, and his righteousness. And the Amplified Version explains his righteousness as his way of doing right and being right. His way, not a way, not our way, his way of doing right and being right. So let's work with the Amplified Version of God's way of doing and being right. With a little detective work, let's let the Bible help us find out what this actually means. So let's turn to Proverbs 4:7. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. The principal thing, principal, very important, means the first thing. Matthew 6:10, And we won't turn there, but Christ's example, when he was teaching us how to pray, the first thing, our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come. It's the first request he taught us to make. Thy kingdom come. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, and we can turn there, Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Do you begin to see a pattern there? First, wisdom. First, the kingdom. First, fear God. Well, how many firsts can there be? There's only one first. It's the way it is. Okay? So we have to assume that wisdom, kingdom of God, or the righteousness of God, and fearing God are one and the same thing. They're all first, and there's only one first. So if you keep that context in mind as we go through the rest of the sermon, it'll all come together. It will all come together. So, going back to the Amplified Version, Matthew 6:33, we can read it like this. But seek, aim, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, or his wisdom, right? Because they're all the same, or the fear of God, and then all these things will be added to you beside. Now, what is the wisdom of God? What is the wisdom of God? Visitors, I have to apologize to you. I didn't bring handouts, but I've had these handouts so many times. They're laughing. I didn't want to bring them again, okay? But if you, it's kind of hard to see, and if you want one, just, I may have some extra ones in my bag. It's hard to see, but there are columns, seven columns. And if we go to the book of Proverbs, we read, in fact, let's go there right now. Proverbs 9, verse 1. Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom had builded her house. She had hewn out her seven pillars. And in a sermon I gave some time ago, we went over the seven pillars and determined that those pillars were the seven pillars of the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God started with God. The righteousness of God started with God. The wisdom of God started with God. All those are God, what God is, who God is. And they all are one and the same thing, obviously spoken of and taught in different ways from different perspectives to teach us different lessons. But if we put them all in the right perspective, then we can see how it all comes together and how it all ties together. So you know the story. This young man, he was about 20 years old, became king. And he was overwhelmed by the thought. King, sounds good, but don't we get overwhelmed by the thought sometimes when we're told we will be kings and priests? Yeah, if you really think it through, you get a little overwhelmed. What does a king do? I mean, just sit on the throne. So he was overwhelmed by the thought. And so he asked God for wisdom. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I don't know what to do. These are your people. It's such a big nation. I've never been a king before. Help me, please. Shouldn't that be the question we're asking as we go through feast to feast, Sabbath to Sabbath, because that is what our responsibility is going to be. God called us to be kings and priests. Shouldn't we be asking for wisdom and understanding to know how to, one, prepare now, and two, plan for the time when we will actually be taking over the responsibility of kings and priests? Because Solomon's story is our story. It was written for our example. Something we need to learn from it. So just as we were told in verse 5, and I didn't go there, of of 1 Kings 3, verse 5, go on to verse 12, God answered Solomon and said, I'm going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you understanding, and I'll give you all the other things that you didn't ask for. God is no respecter of persons. And let's look at Mark 11:24 and see, confirm that God is no respecter of persons, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So when Solomon asked, God answered. He believed, and God gave him wisdom and understanding. We don't have sometimes because we don't ask. Because he says, if you ask, I will give you. So what does Solomon say about wisdom? We read that before. Wisdom is the principal thing, the most important thing, the principle. That's what principle is. Not only that, but he admonishes us to get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. So we can paraphrase that now that we understand that the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the fear of God are all first, they're all the same. We can paraphrase that to say, if any man lacks righteousness, let him ask of God. Same way he gives wisdom, he gives righteousness. But if you don't have it, maybe it's because we don't ask. Because, same as we read in Mark 11:24, therefore, whatsoever you ask, he will give you. And I think it's James 1:5. Let's turn there. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given to him. So, remember we talked about God's righteous promises? If any of you lack wisdom, ask, he'll give you. Solomon asks, he'll give it. He's no respecter of persons. If any of you lack righteousness, ask, it shall be given unto you. He's no respecter of persons. He made a righteous promise. So wisdom, like we heard, is so important. It began with God, so does his righteousness, and so does the fear of God that we need to be learning and we need to be applying. So let me pause right here and talk about the lion, because today we have to find out, get some steps on how to seek first this righteousness of God. Now, It's hard to see from out there, but this is a picture of a lion. And we've all seen them at the zoo or someplace. We've actually been on safari many times and seen them really up close. But the lion is bold. The lion is bold. The lion dominates the savannah. It's wherever the lion is in control. The lion is bold. And if you look down the column, I have B-O-L-D, and you can't see it from here, but let me give you a couple of explanations. That mnemonic, bold. B, to be. Cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. I seek God's wisdom and God's kingdom and God's righteousness, because that's the way I need to be. That's the way God wants me to be. O, observant. Observant of God's feasts. The feasts, we think of them in the traditional sense, and the feasts of the Sabbath, as we're beginning to understand the Sabbath. In fact, if you go to Leviticus 23, it says, these are my feasts, and the very first reference is the Sabbath. These are my feasts. So today is God's feast. And today is a day that reminds us of what we are reminded us of when we go to the Festival of Tabernacles. God's kingdom, God's peace, God's righteousness. And obviously when we go to the feast, we go to learn to fear him always. This is a day when we should be renewing that thought and that aim and that striving after to learn to fear God always. I'm sorry. B-O-L. L is for look, and we can be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the D, B-O-L-D, to discern, to become insightful. And in Proverbs 1:5, we are told, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. D, discerning. And Proverbs 16:21, we won't turn there, the wise in heart are called discerning. So if we're asking for wisdom, by the very nature of acquiring wisdom, we will be acquiring discernment, discerning. Now, since we're on the lion, I'll turn the other side, and everybody recognize this, right? The feast, the lion and the lamb. The lion and the lamb, okay? The lion and the lamb shall dwell together. So let's look at bold again, looking at it from the perspective of what this day means, what the feast means, what it pictures, and what we should be doing as far as seeking first the kingdom of God, acquiring the wisdom of God, and learning to fear God always. Okay, so B, again, cogito ergo sum. That's the reason why I say that. When I was in high school, our motto was cogito ergo sum. That's the Latin for I think, therefore I am. So we have to think so we could be. And how are we to think? Well, think like Christ. Have the mind of Christ. We read that in Philippians 2:5. But we can only think like Christ if we have the righteousness of Christ. That's how it works. And we can have the righteousness of Christ if we ask, and God promises to give us. So see how it all ties together, righteousness, we think, we become, because we become what we think. And with the righteousness of Christ, in 2 Corinthians 3:21, we can become the righteousness of God, which is our whole aim and purpose. Bold, B-O, O. O, observant of God's feasts and obedient to God's commandments. Remember we started out with the righteousness, his word, his law, his judgment, his ordinances, they're all righteousness. They're all things we should be working on, working with, striving after, living. So the O, bold, observant of God's feasts, the Sabbath, the festivals, and obedient to his laws. L, B-O-L, L, learn to fear God always. And D, diligent, be diligent to seek first the righteousness of his kingdom. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. And we do that by coming boldly to the throne of grace. It all ties together. Because if we think of all of those things, to us they're overwhelming. But God made promises. He told us to come. And he told us to ask boldly. Boldly. So, we mentioned the pillars. Let's expand on that a little more. Galatians 2:23. And we can turn the, I'm sorry, Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And if we look at the columns, we were able to get a little closer to the handout. We list those fruit in the columns. There are seven columns. Seven columns. So let's go back to Matthew 6:33 and paraphrase again. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, the kingdom and its righteousness, his way of doing and being right, his wisdom, and then all these things will be added. For when we are striving for his wisdom and his righteousness, we are striving for the fruit of his Spirit. Now, you say, Dr. B, isn't God give us the fruit of his Spirit? Yes, he gives us. He gives us everything. But he gives it to us in measure. And we have to grow. That's what the parable of the talents are all about. He gives us in measure, but he expects us to grow. He expects us to use them. He expects us to exercise them. It's just like, if you remember, and I remember very well, the first day my mother took me to kindergarten, and I wish I can go back. It was fun those days, okay? But she took me there because she wanted me to grow. She wanted me to learn. That was the first step in my education. And I remember through the years, all the way through medical school and all that, it was a process, and it wasn't simple, and it wasn't easy. So we are on a process of education. It's not simple. It's not easy. But until we strive after, because medical school wasn't easy. I remember 2 hours sleep a night for months. It's the way it was. You don't have time to sleep, study, okay? Do we take that kind of effort and make that kind of effort in learning to grow and acquire the wisdom, the righteousness, the fear of God? We learn to fear him by renewing our commitment to learn his wisdom and his righteousness. And to do this, like I said, we have to be bold. So let me give you a couple of contrasts here. Bold. Boldness, meekness. Boldness, meekness. Jesus is bold and is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. But in Revelation, in John 1:29, he's also called the Lamb of God. That's my signal to sit down. He's also called the Lamb of God. Okay, so we have this dichotomy, but it's not a dichotomy. It's how it works. We have to be bold. Jesus was bold. Bold in rebuking Satan, bold in coming to this world in the first place, bold in standing up to the Pharisees and all the things that we know he did, but he was the Lamb of God, the Lion, the Lamb. The Lion, we know as the King of Beasts, but if you do any research on the Lion, it's the most sociable cat. Most cats, as we know them, are loners. Lions live in groups. In God's kingdom, the lion will lie down with the lamb. God wants us to be bold, but meek. That's what we need to be striving after. For he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So the lion lying down with the lamb figuratively shows God's boldness and meekness coexist. So as we strive to be like God and to seek first his righteousness, we have to be bold, yet we have to be meek. So as we continue to observe God's festivals as they come around from year to year, and as we continue to observe the Sabbaths, let us remember that we have to be bold, come boldly to the throne of grace. We have to seek God diligently, and we have to learn to fear God always by seeking first his righteousness. Now here's a way we can do that. You don't have to do that in the way that I say it, but at least it'll give you whatever works for you in terms of your life, the demands on your life, your temperament, your way of doing things, a way of having a plan, because without a plan, not much happens. So when you look at the fruit of righteousness, there are seven pillars, where there are 7 days in a week. But choose one day to focus on one of them. Not that hard, now that we think about it. Sunday, temperance. Monday, long-suffering, and on and on and on. Sabbath, of course, is Sabbath, peace. Those are all fruit of the Spirit, and this is a good day to focus on peace, God's kingdom, peace in terms of getting along with each other, getting along with our neighbors, functioning in a world that's crazy, but we still have to function in it and be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. I told you, when we started, I'd give you a plan. It's a simple plan. It's not complicated. But most things worthwhile and most things that we accomplish are not complicated. The complication is us. We don't do it. So I ask you, before I sit down, do it. Starting today. And make it a part of your daily plan to seek first the righteousness of the kingdom of God.